Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 12 and then Genesis chapter 15 in your Bibles. And Genesis 12, verse 1, and Genesis 15, verse 6. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And then Genesis 15, 6, he believed in the Lord. Well, I'm sorry, not Genesis 15, 6, verse 5, I'm sorry, verse 5. And he brought him forth, this is Abraham, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Let's bow our hearts to a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and for the opportunity of looking to your word and studying it together this morning. As we do so, we pray that the things said and done will honor and glorify the name of Christ and edify the saints. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we are this morning going to talk about Father Abraham had many sons, the many sons of Abraham. And we've done this in the past, and we do it kind of periodically because when things flare up in the Middle East, you know, it always is good to kind of refocus ourselves on why that situation is there and on, you know, who's right, who's wrong, is one side right, is one side wrong. And the Bible actually has a lot to say about that part of the world. That is the part of the world that pretty much the whole Old Testament and much of the New Testament, the earthly ministry of Christ, focuses on that area that we call the Middle East, the Holy Land, you know, whatever term you want to use for it, the area where there's always war going on and you know, things are always happening. And on top of that, now Shiloh's listening to these songs on the internet, and one of her favorite songs to listen to is Father Abraham Had Many Sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, I am one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. So now next week we're going to get into that more. How can you be, I am one of them? How can you be a son of Abraham? Because we're going to see today that, you know, Abraham has many sons, but I don't think anybody in this room is a son or a daughter based on what we're going to look at today. And that's really the important part. I'll tell you up front. I was going to wait to the end to tell you this, but I'll tell you this up front. All this stuff we're going to talk about today for the next half hour or so, all this stuff as far as your relationship with Christ or what God is doing in the world today, or where you should stand politically on things, means nothing. It means nothing. Just so you know that. Now, it's good to be educated and informed and understand what's happening. But as far as your relationship with Christ and as far as people using this for some kind of spiritual meaning, no. And one of the reasons we're talking about this today is that that's what I really want to talk about next week. But to talk about that next week, we got to kind of lay the framework and the groundwork, the foundation, which we have in the past, but we'll do that again today. And, you know, William said earlier, man, if that's Abraham in the middle, he was over 100 years old. He looks pretty good for over 100 years old. So I gotta agree, he does. So maybe AI, you know, AI is like plastic surgery. It makes you look better than you really are. So I'm going to run myself through AI one of these days and see what they come up with. So Father Abraham had many sons. And the promise to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, I will get thee from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of you a great nation. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, your seed will be as the stars of heaven. There's another place where it says your seed will be as the sands of the sea. So the stars of heaven, the sands of the sea, that's innumerable. And so God makes a promise to Abraham about having many sons, many descendants, physical descendants of Abraham. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is those physical descendants of Abraham. Next week, we'll talk about the fact that that's a complete non-issue today. And one of the reasons that there is the problem in the world today that there is politically is because people don't rightly divide the word of truth. They don't understand the scriptural perspective on Abraham and his many sons. And so we're going to talk about those many sons this week, and then next week we're going to blow it all out of the water and tell you why it doesn't matter. So let's start with Abraham's many sons. Go with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. So this is the first of Abraham's sons that we see born. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. So God had made this big promise to Abraham. I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to make your seed as the stars of heaven. But his wife has no children. So what are we going to do? Well, she comes up with a plan, Sarai does. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You go to chapter verse 15, rather. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. So we're introduced to the first son of Abraham, and that's important because generally who receives, at least in this context, in this culture, who receives the inheritance of the father? The firstborn son. It's always the firstborn son. So it is important that Ishmael is the firstborn, and that happens because of Sarah's advice to Abraham, which tells you what, men? Never listen to your wife when she gives you bad advice, contrary to Scripture. All right? So, no, he didn't argue. I admit that. I think Abraham took it as, all right, let's go. So Abraham, he certainly participated willingly in this whole thing. But the descendants of Abraham. So when we start looking at the descendants of Abraham and who they are, and you might not be able to see all the detail of that. And yes, Keith's not here this morning, so nobody tell him that I was using charts again because we're not supposed to use charts. But go to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. And those men that you see along the bottom there, of course, you see Abraham. And you see Ishmael is his son that is born to Hagar. And Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 12, what happens with Ishmael? Verse 12 of Genesis 25. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsham, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa. Hadar, and Tema, Jeter, Naphish, and Kadima. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. So Abraham has a son by Hagar, Ishmael. Ishmael has 12 sons. And those 12 sons, we're not going to read all through all the lineage of all of them, but if you read them, they become great nations in and of themselves. They become great men in and of themselves and found nations and kingdoms, each of those 12 sons. And of course, those 12 sons, you can read in the context, they had wives, and those wives bear them sons and more sons and more sons and more sons. And today, from those 12 men, millions of people. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 16, where we were earlier, there's a little thing dropped in there that tells you immediately this is not going to go well. Because if you look in verse 4 of Genesis 16, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So once Hagar is now going to be the mother of Abraham's son, what's her attitude about Sarah? Sarai. Yep, that old bat couldn't give him a son. I'm speaking for Hagar. This isn't me saying that. I would never say something like that. That old bat couldn't give him a son. I'm giving him a son who should be the queen of the castle? Should be Hagar. So immediately you see there's a problem going on here. And this birth of Ishmael and Ishmael's sons is going to cause a serious issue for Abraham, and it starts right there when Hagar begins to resent her mistress, begins to resent Sarai. But then Genesis 17, so let's go to Genesis 17 now, in verse 15, God comes to Abraham again, Genesis chapter 15, and God said unto Abraham, notice his name has changed from Abram to Abraham. So now something new is going to happen with Abraham. And as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. So Sarah's name also gets changed. I will bless her, give thee a son of her. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nation. Kings of people shall come of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. And I will make him a great nation. And we just, there they are. There's the 12 princes that Ishmael is going to beget, or was God prophesied what it would beget. And I'll make of him a great nation. But my covenant is going to be with Isaac. And so we have the descendants of Abram through Isaac. And Isaac is going to have a son, and we'll see this in a minute. Isaac is going to have a son named Jacob. And this is another line. Now, interestingly enough, and God says in Genesis chapter 17, my covenant is with Isaac and with his descendants. I'm going to make Ishmael a great nation. He'll be great, but Isaac is my man. Guess who the Quran says is the man? Ishmael. The Quran says Allah, a different God, chose Ishmael as the son, the firstborn. And so all the promises made to Abraham from the Muslim point of view go to Ishmael and to his descendants, not to Isaac and to his descendants, which is what Scripture teaches. So immediately you've got this conflict, right? You can see, you know, the time when families start fighting with each other is when grandpa dies and we want to decide who gets grandpa's stuff. Abraham is going to die one day. We'll see that here in a minute. And then the fight's going to be who gets Abraham's stuff. There's 12 princes came from Ishmael. Here's Isaac. And if you go to Genesis chapter 21, we see the birth of Isaac in Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, verse 1, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now listen to verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. So now this fight escalates, right? Because it was before that Hagar was saying, that old bat can't have a son. You need to, you know, it needs to be my son, Ishmael. Now Sarah, the old bat, has a son. Oh, now what? Now the old bat's going to say, you see that young thing over there? I want her out. And that's exactly, if you look in verse 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Cast out, get rid of her, get rid of her son, and get him out of here. Conflict, right there in Abraham's tent. That continues today. But right there in Abraham's tent, it starts. If you go to chapter 25, of course, it doesn't stop with Isaac. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 19, Genesis 25 and verse 19, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Is that usually the way it is? It's not usually the way it is. And when her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out all red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came to the field, was faint. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he sware to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. See, how many in this story, how many people there are that despise one another? Now, Esau's going to despise his birthright, and that he sold his birthright to Jacob for some pottage, for some food. I sold my birthright. I sold all of Abraham's possessions for a meal. That was like selling Manhattan for 24 beads or something, whatever it was, you know, back in the day. That was not a good deal. And now, after he thinks about it, he has, you know, in the sales industry, they call this buyer's remorse. You know, after you buy some big ticket item and you go home and you think, oh crap, what did I just do? And that's called buyer's remorse. But your name's on a dotted line, so it doesn't matter. But Esau has buyer's remorse, and he's upset because, wow, I sold my birthright now. But Jacob then, so again we see, is it the elder son that's going to get the birthright or the younger son? It's the younger. So again, here's a point of conflict. Go over to chapter 35 of Genesis. Chapter 35 of Genesis. And verse number 22. 35 verse 22. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land. So just to follow, Jacob's name in the process of things gets changed to Israel. That's why they're called the children of Israel. So it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but you see in parenthesis there after Jacob, Israel, because his name gets changed. It came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born in him in Padan Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is in Hebron, where Abram and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 84 years. Isaac gave up the ghost and died, was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So Esau and Jacob are both born to Isaac. And then Jacob has 12 sons. And, you know, there's, you'll see in the diagram here down in the lower right-hand side, there's a, the Benjamin has two, Manasseh and Ephraim, and those two kind of become sons. But altogether, there are 12. So two of them are actually grandsons, but they're the sons and two grandsons of Jacob. And God says, I'm going to make my covenant with Jacob. He's the one that I'm going to make that covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. But Jacob had a brother, didn't he? In fact, he had a twin brother that was just minutes older than he was. And chapter 36 of Genesis talks to us about him, and there are descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Esau. And these are the descendants through Esau. Isaac, remember, he had Jacob and Jacob's 12 sons, but Isaac also has Esau, and the sons of Esau are in Scripture, chapter 36, verse 1. Now, these are generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth, and Ada bare Esau Eliphaz, and Bashemath bare Reuel, and Aholibamah bare Jehush and Jehalam and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. This is why we don't preach on this much, because those names just kill me, you know. So, but it's interesting how people are related. We talked about this a while back. See verse 3, and Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter. So one of Esau's sons is married to one of Ishmael's daughters. So, and is Ishmael mad at, Ishmael's mad at Isaac. Got to keep these generations straight, right? And Esau is mad at Jacob. So now you've got a son of Esau marrying a daughter of Ishmael. And what do you think, is their offspring going to be really in love with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? No. Because they're both on the outside of that covenant of promise. But all these people are going to make a claim. And that's the ones we hear about all the time. The sons of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ishmael, Ishmael's 12 sons. But Abraham wasn't quite done, right? So go to Genesis chapter 25. Because Abraham, after Sarah's death, so if you go back a little, you pick up, because we jumped ahead to see Abraham's sons, you know, ahead in the story. But back in chapter 25, then again, verse 1, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua, and Jokshan begat Sheba, and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Asherim, and Letushim, and Leumim, the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Elpher, and Hanok, and Abadah, and Aldea. All these were the children of Keturah. So now you've got the children of Keturah. There's six sons listed there under Keturah. Now, they are direct descendants of Abraham. Just like Isaac, just like Ishmael, Abraham is their daddy. So do you think that they should get something? They probably think, hey, Abraham, our father, is rich. He's got many lands. He's got flocks. He's got cattle. He's got all this stuff. we need to get us a piece of that. So you've got all these people descended from Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, through Isaac, through Ishmael, through Keturah, and through Esau. That's a lot. Now you take all those people, I didn't count all those little boxes down there, but all those little boxes, that's only three generations from Abraham. How many generations are we now from Abraham? A lot, hundreds of generations. And so every one of those little boxes there, you know, that names a person, represents now thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. The whole Middle East. The population of Iran, I think, is like 80 or 90 million people. That's just one country in the Middle East. And all those people are descended from Abraham. And all those people think that they should have what God promised to Abraham. And what did God promise to Abraham? Well, go back to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. What did God give Abraham? Land. He gave Abraham land. And the borders of the land are defined there, from the great river of Egypt, river of Egypt under the great river, the river Euphrates. You know, you read it in history books, it's called the Fertile Crescent. It's where civilization began. It's where, you know, so many things happened. It's the place, and the reason for that is it's the place that God ordained. It's the place, I'm going to give this to Abraham. And to thy seed. Okay? Which one of those, all those seeds there? Who gets it? They're all fighting about it. That's what they all want it. They all think we are the rightful heirs to Abraham, whether descended from Ishmael or Jacob or Esau or Keturah, one of Keturah's sons. One of Keturah's sons was Midianites. You read through the Old Testament and you remember hearing about the Midianites? They're real big. And Esau is Edom and the Edomites in the Old Testament. These people, they didn't just go away. They're there. And they're in that land. And you read about the death of Abraham. Isaac and Ishmael buried their father. They got together to bury their father. Because even though we have different mothers, he's our father. And so they're all interacting in that day. And they're all interacting in this day. And the interaction in this day is not good. And if you go to Genesis chapter 25, where we just were, after he lists the sons of Keturah, you know, in verse 1 through 4, he lists all those sons of Keturah and their wives and what happened with them. And then in verse 5, he says something really important. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Ooh. You see all those little squares there, all those names? And Isaac got it all. Now he gave some. If you look to verse 6, and the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while they yet lived, eastward were the east country. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived. So he gave them something and said, go away. Paid them off. But his estate, his wealth, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. How did the rest of the family take to that? Not well. There are still today fighting about it. And the fight is about whose land is it? That's what the fight is all about. God gave Abraham a land, said, your seed will inherit this land. Your seed will live on this land and dwell on this land. And that's it. And here's all his seed. And Abraham said, I'm going to give it all to Isaac. And the rest of Abraham's seed is just apoplectic about that. So much so that they are fighting still today. That fight that started in Abraham's tent thousands of years ago, guess what? It's still going on today. It's still going on right now. You go home, turn on Fox News this afternoon or CBS News or any other news program that you watch, and you know what they're going to be talking about? Iran. Because that's descendants of some of these people. And they're still fighting about that land. And if you took Israel out of that land, there's no problem. Because now the other descendants have that land. Now they're going to fight against each other, the Shiites and the Sunnis and the different branches of Islam and all of that. They're going to fight each other too. But the big fight is about the descendants of Isaac and all the other descendants. Now, just so we're sure we understand where Scripture is on this, go to Genesis chapter 17. And then, like I said, next week we're going to talk about this. We're not going to go through all this again. We're going to start where we leave off today and show you that none of this, not one of those think little boxes there on that chart, none of it matters as far as your relationship with Christ or what God is doing in the world today. And the mistake that people make, believers make this mistake, is thinking that that all of this informs what is happening today and how we should think about what's... It does inform what's happening today, because that's the reason the conflict is there. But they think it should tell us how we should think about it and what we should do about it, and it doesn't. Because all of this is God preparing the earth for his kingdom, not reigning in the heavenly places with the body of Christ. So Genesis 17, but just to be clear, Genesis 17, 20, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and made him fruitful, and will multiply him exceeding. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. I'm going to make Ishmael a great nation, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac. And then turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, as we open what we refer to as the New Testament, how does the New Testament, Matthew kind of sets the stage, if you will. So where are we now? Christ is ready to come. Where are we now? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. So, and then when you go down to verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So, in Scripture, which son is it that leads to Christ? Isaac. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And if you go down through, that leads to Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. So as the Bible introduces us to Jesus Christ, it takes us back and says, here's where Christ came from, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and that line. Christ did not come from Ishmael. He did not come from Esau. He did not come from Midian or any other sons of Keturah. He came through Isaac and Jacob and that line that came from Abraham. So the line that Scripture says is the rightful heir to all that Abraham had is the line that came through Isaac. As I said, if we had a Quran here, it says the Quran says Ishmael is the one that was taken up on the mountain and sacrificed, not Isaac. The Quran makes all the stuff that the Scripture says about Isaac about Ishmael. But Scripture, the Word of God says, now it's Isaac's the guy. Isaac is the one. Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's 12 sons, that nation, that's the one that inherits the promises of Abraham, and that's the one through whom Christ came. But today, and that's a fact, and that's the way it is, and Jesus Christ will sit on a throne and rule and reign, and that's what Islam denies. But today, it doesn't matter. Today, your relationship with Christ is not based on that. Today, your relationship with Christ is not based on the fact that you are a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Today, there's something other that God's doing, and next week we're going to look at that and understand, you know, it's important to know the background of all this and why is it what it is. But people, when they try to know, well, where should I stand on this, they fail to rightly divide the word of truth. And it is crucial to rightly divide the word of truth, or you'll be led astray with all, because this is a mess in the Middle East. It is a mess. And the mess won't be really solved till Jesus Christ returns. But we'll talk more about that next week, all right? Okay, let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ, for the opportunity of looking at your word and studying it together. And as we've done so, we pray that it helps us understand what's going on in the world today, but also that we need not be concerned or afraid of what's going on in the world today, because our hope is something else. It is in the Christ as the head of the church, the body of Christ. And we become a part of the body of Christ, not by a physical descendancy, not by physical birth, but by being made one with Christ through faith in his death, burial, and resurrection as payment for our sin. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have of not being a part of all that's going on in the flesh, but being spiritually united to our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.